Our gospel lesson today is taken from the gospel according to John, the 18th chapter. Listen for God's word as it speaks to you and to me. A portion of the passion narrative. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were to come from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." May God bless our hearts, this reading of God's holy word. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, in this moment we ask that you would silence all voices but your own, so that the words from my mouth and the meditation from all of our hearts would be acceptable in thy sight, and the word would become for us manna, nurturing us for further service to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just to make sure this doesn't become the sermon that never ends, so the song that never ends. This is Christ the King Sunday, folks. As I said, it's the last Sunday of the liturgical year. Next year, we're going to start all over again with Advent. But for this Sunday, the pyramids are white, and we lift up the fact, the truth, that God in Christ reigns. Not just this day, but for all time. That the God we know in Christ, the God of love, is alive, vibrant, calling into being the kingdom of God that we see the first fruits of even here and now. So when we talk about Christ the King Sunday, doesn't it seem a little odd to you that the gospel passage that's lifted up is this portion from the gospel narrative? If you don't remember exactly where it comes in just from that little snippet, this is probably the lowest point in Jesus' walk on this earth that's being lifted up in this passage. He already had the Last Supper with his disciples, and they went out to pray. And in the garden, one of his own, Judas, betrayed him with a kiss. He was taken through the streets. He was mocked. Just a week earlier, when they had lifted him up as king in Palm Sunday, all that was behind him now. Now he was just hours away from being crucified on the cross. His own people were yelling, "Crucify him." They were denying him, even though they were calling him king just a few days earlier. That's what's being lifted up for Christ the King Sunday. And so Pilate, the Roman emperor of the time, was asking, "So are you indeed a king?" And Jesus answers that those who testify to the truth are his kingdom. So, I have three questions to unpack today in the short time that we have. One, why this passage for Christ the King Sunday? Two, what difference does it make to us in our lives? And three is the question that Pilate asked in the very next verse after we stopped reading. Pilate responds to Jesus, "What is truth?" Three heavy things to do in about, 18 minutes. We'll see how we do. They're all connected, though, when you think about it. Here we have Christ the King Sunday. Everything begins and ends with God, right? God, in the Old Testament, revealed God's self to Moses by saying, when they ask you, who sent you, Moses, to say, let my people free, you tell him, I am, is the one who is sending you. God revealed himself to us through the verb to be. God is. All that is came through God. But not just all that is, all that was and all that shall be is an expression of God. God is. I am. The fact that we are is a gift from God. So in that very expression in the Old Testament, that's the simplest framing of God's revelation of God's self. In the New Testament, there's an equally short but profound passage also, where Paul, who is used to going on and on in long arguments, has a very short verse that boils it down to, God is love. God is love. Simple as that. So bearing testimony and testifying to the truth means in our living, pointing to and living out expressions of God's love in our midst. That's the simplest framing that I can think of bearing testimony to the truth. Now, it should be that simple, but you and I know it ain't always that simple. First of all, it's because, to Pilate's question, what is truth? Well, that can give you a little complicated. There's something called Johari's window. It's a psychological term, but forget the terminology. Just remember it as a window with like four blocks in it. One window is what I show you about me, my public self, that which I project to be true, which you perceive to be true. That's one part. Then there's this other part that I don't want to show you, but you see it anyway. Right? Then there's this other part down here, which I don't know anything about, and you don't know anything about. Right? That's the part that we want to keep hidden. And then there's the part that I know not to be true, but I successfully project a falsehood to you. So those are the four quadrants. The only one that's truly true is that first one, that which is honest and true about me. And the other three, there's some falsehood in there somewhere, right? And so much of our lives is involved with those other three parts as opposed to that which is true and honest that we both accept to be true. All right? Now, the challenge is, so much of our world revolves around those other three quadrants that it is sometimes difficult for God's love to shine through in order to keep you from focusing on those parts of me that I don't want you to focus on. I point the finger at the other. And likewise, you do the same with me. If we can lean into the truth, then sometimes we can allow certain things that are untrue to fall away. There's another reason why it's also difficult to lift up that truth, and that's because in my limitedness as a human being, I can only perceive the truth from my perspective. I've got blind spots, you've got blind spots. As Presbyterians, one of the things that we understand and believe is that the Holy Spirit reveals God's will and God's way best through community. In other words, I need you to share your perspective of what you see because I can't see what you see. Yet together, if we're at the same table and I speak the truth as I understand it and listen to hear you're speaking the truth as you understand it, we can see the other side more clearly and embrace then what it is that God is calling us to do. What difference does it make in our lives? Friends, there are times when the world as it is needs to grow up, needs to change, needs to bless one another into being more loving, more the kingdom of God than what we are. Yet it's so hard. We want to hold on sometimes to things like we have, or it's just hard to let go. And yet the God of grace bids us to do this. In our Old Testament passage, Zaria read a passage about Hannah. She was one of two wives. The first wife was blessed with many children. Hannah didn't have any children at all. And the first wife would mock her about this. Hannah went to the temple day after day and would pray to God for hours on end. So much so that one time the priest saw her mouthing the words of her prayer and said, "Why are you here drunk?" She said, "I'm not drunk. I'm just fervently pouring out my heart to God." And the priest said, "Go home. God will grant you what you are praying for." And in that particular case, God did. And she conceived a child. And what she had been praying was this: "If you grant me a child, I will not only sing your praises from this day forward, I will dedicate that child to service of the temple for the rest of that child's life." So when the child was born, she brought the child back to the temple, spoke to the priest and said, "Remember me? I was the one that was praying and you thought I was drunk. This is who I was praying for. And I promised God that if I had a child, I would deliver that child here to the service of the priesthood." And that became Samuel, who lived his life in the temple. And what we heard read by Zaria this morning was Hannah's song of praise, which is another aspect of truth that we don't think about too often. And that's the fact that even those things that seem to be clear-cut, that seem to be set in their path, that those that are rich will remain rich, those who are poor will remain poor, those who are oppressed will remain oppressed, that's not God's reality. There are times when the God of history steps into history and turns things around. Or as Hannah said, there are times when those who have been filled find themselves hiring themselves out for bread. And those who were hungry are fat to filling. That those who are the oppressors, their bows get broken. And that those who are weak find themselves girded up for strength. That's God's truth. We're called to bear testimony to that. And it's happened many a time. We think about the Civil Rights Movement and Martin Luther King and his "I've Been to the Mountaintop" speech. And basically, that's exactly what he's proclaiming. You may see things one way, this may be the way of the world, but I testify to the truth of God, the God of love, who we know will win. And he says, we will get to the promised land. Now, he also acknowledged he may not see it in his earthly lifetime, but we will get there. And there are times when we do see it in this lifetime. Just this morning, and I love it when this happens, just this morning, I heard two reports on the radio. One was about Texas, talking about how 39 years ago, the Vietnamese people that had been supporters of the American cause in Vietnam that were finding themselves in danger of their own lives remaining in Vietnam were brought over to the United States. And many of them found their way to Texas because they could do their crabbing in Texas in similar conditions to what they experienced in Vietnam. But they were not welcome there as foreigners that were crabbing too much and not knowing our ways. And the Ku Klux Klan even made themselves known to these Vietnamese farmers. Yet 39 years later, they work side by side, and Texas is particularly around the Houston area, lifts itself up as one of the most diverse areas in the country. There are times when that which was yields to that which should be. And the second story was about San Francisco, and this is getting close to the 40th anniversary of Harvey Milk's assassination as a gay man that found a way to partner with his neighbors who were not gay, but were also feeling oppressed in the San Francisco neighborhood, and found himself to be the first, what we would call, city councilman of LGBT, openly gay identity in the nation. And he, too, like Martin Luther King, was assassinated, but the LGBT movement has moved well past San Francisco and well past the halls of City Hall into every aspect of our lives. Friends, what is truth? Truth is proclaiming that all of us find ourselves seeking to hide truth from one another, but that all of us are the recipients of God's love and God's grace. And to the extent that we lean into testifying that truth, proclaiming it and lifting it up, we are truth testifiers. There's a time when our sparks all go out, but thank God for those in our lives who can relight the spark to remind us who and whose we are as God's beloved truth testifiers who fall down, yet get up, and proclaim love even in situations where others are proclaiming hate. For we know that that is the way of victory. So as we turn the page from Christ the King Sunday and start again back at the foot of the manger, we recognize that for a lot of us, that story might not have the same pull that it used to when we were young and had not gone through a lot of the scrapes that life provides. I would encourage you to enter in with an open heart and spirit, because of not that innocent babe, but because that innocent babe grew into the Christ of Christ the King Sunday, who knew as much suffering as any of us, wrongly condemned, spit upon, scarred, and yet forgave those who would see him harmed. If he could testify to the truth of love in his own living and dying, so that we might experience that same love and power in this day, who are we to deny God's power? Let us open ourselves, each and every one of us, to whatever form of truth speaking God has placed before us. And let us be graceful and generous as we as a community do that for one another. For it is only in so doing that God's kingdom flourishes not just in the past and not just in the future, but even here today. May it always be so. In Christ's name. Amen.